Before a baptism, the minister approached one of the candidates and said solemnly, "Baptism is a serious thing to do. Are you sure that you're prepared for it?" "I think so," he replied. "We've got a caterer coming to provide plenty of cookies and cakes for our guests." The minister frowned. "I don't mean that," he said. "I mean, are you prepared spiritually?" "Sure," came the reply. "I've got a keg of beer as well and a case of whiskey for later." Today, as Susan said, we begin a new series in Mark's Gospel. Mark, if you put it like this, is the Gospel for people without much time to spare. Everything is very short and compressed and happens very quickly and one after another. Mark doesn't waste any words. It's almost breathless the way it kind of goes through the stories about Jesus. And he begins like this, verse 1, "The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God." And then he spends the next 16 chapters exploring and explaining what that means. What it means for Jesus to be the Messiah. What it means for Jesus to be the Son of God. All through the Gospel, people are asking that question, who is Jesus? People heard his teaching and they wondered, who is this guy who teaches with such authority? They heard him forgive sins and they thought to themselves, how dare he forgive sins? Who does he think he is? He healed the sick on the Sabbath day, and they thought, this upstart, we need to get rid of him. Jesus calmed a storm, and they said to one another, who is this guy that the wind and the waves obey him? When Jesus went home, people refused to believe because they knew his parents, his brothers. So they said, he must be a fraud. Jesus walked on water, and they thought he was a ghost. And that's just in the first six chapters, some that I picked out. Everyone's wondering, who is this guy? Now, the demons in Mark's Gospel, they know who he is. But it isn't until a Roman soldier sees Jesus die that someone says, surely this man was the Son of God. Mark gives us the answer to who Jesus is in chapter 1, verse 1. But it's only when Jesus dies that we understand what that means and what it cost. Now, a few years ago, there was a TV program called The Secret Millionaire. Did anyone watch that? A few people? One or two? In each episode, a millionaire, someone with loads of money, would leave his or her luxuries behind and they would go and live undercover in somewhere poor, basically. And they're given a limited budget to live off, so they have to leave behind all the things that they rely on, all their trappings and all that sort of stuff. And over a week to 10 days, they have to build relationships with the people in that place. They have to work out what it means to live the hard way. And over that time, the idea is that they identify people or organisations that might deserve a break, a gift, some of their money. And then at the end, they reveal their identity and surprise people with their gifts or donations. Well, Jesus is a little bit like one of those secret millionaires. He laid aside all of his majesty, all of his glory to come and live with us. Only he doesn't come for a week or a few days. And he isn't pretending. He really is one of us. Jesus did not need to be baptized. In the first bit of that reading, it talks about John's baptism. Verse 4, it's a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus didn't need to do that. He was perfect. That baptism was an outer washing that was a sign of the inner cleansing, the inner forgiveness. Jesus didn't need that. For those who came to John, it was the mark of a fresh start, a new commitment to God. Jesus didn't need to do that. His heart wasn't deceitful. He hadn't done anything wrong. He didn't need a fresh start, but he was still, verse 9, baptized by John. He did that to identify himself with those of us who do need all of that. He came to join us in the mess, to join us in the pit, to identify with us, to show that he really is one of us. Now at Easter, those of you who are here for our Easter morning service, I showed a video telling the story of a champion football player who joined a failing team, scored goal after goal, led them to Wembley, won the cup final. The fans go mad. He runs over to them at their end of the stadium and he taps his shirt like that, because that's where the badge is. He's one of them. What's true of him is true of them, though they haven't expended a calorie of effort. You remember the phrase, he wins, they celebrate. Same for us with Jesus. He wins, we celebrate. That's what's happening here. Jesus was baptized by John to show that he's really one of us, which means that what's true of him is true of us. And did you see what God says to him? Verse 10. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Don't you long for someone to say that to you? I do. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't it be amazing for God himself to say that to you? I think so. No? Yes. That's the gospel. Because he does. Jesus is one of us. So what's true of him is true of us. So when God says that to Jesus, he says it to us. You are my child, God says, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. If you want God to say that to you, come to Jesus. Be one with Jesus so that what's true of him is true of you. So you might not have any idea who Jesus is. Not really. I don't know. You might think you know him well. Maybe you do know him well. This series over the next 3 or 4 months is an opportunity for all of us to come and see. To come and see the good news. To come and see who Jesus really is. Because if you find him, you will find yourself. You'll find who God made you to be. You see, we don't find who we are by looking within, or by searching our hearts, or by following our desires. When we are one with Jesus, that's what's true of him is true of us, and that's who we really are. We are God's children when we are one with Jesus. When we are one with Jesus, God says to us, as he said to Jesus, you are my child, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. So come and see. Come and see Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. You might be surprised, but you won't be disappointed. Come and see and find yourself in him.